Father God, today, Lord, I pray for each and every mom, Lord. I pray that you bless them. Father God, I pray that they would know how much you love them, Father. I pray that they would know how much they are appreciated in each one of their homes, Lord. And for all the work that they do, Father God, I just pray that you bless them. And Lord, this morning as we come before you, as we worship you and we continue to worship you by looking at your word, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Father, to see you and to just know you a little bit more this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that the words that we read, we would just see how we can implement them into our lives in real life. And so, Father, as we go through your word this morning, Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to work in us and that we would just rely on you for our strength. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, flip with me to the book of James. We're still in chapter 1. We got through the first 18 verses or so of chapter 1. And as we're looking at this book, as we're looking at the book of James, we want to remember that this is a book of faith. This is a book writing about faith, but a faith in action. James's view on faith is that there is action that accompanies that faith. And so throughout his book, he's going to write and give us practical examples of how we are to live our lives. In chapter 1, starting in verse 19, James writes this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." That's easier read than done, right? The idea of being slow to speak, quick to listen. I don't know who said it, but I love this analogy, is that God gave us two ears and one tongue so that we would listen twice as much as we would speak. And it's so true. I want you to think in your life, how many times have you said something quickly that got you in trouble? How many times has the things that you have said caused you grief? How many times in your life have you wished to yourself, man, I wish I had just listened to that whole thing. I jumped in there, I thought I knew what I was talking about, and I said something, and they're like, you just let me finish speaking. You wouldn't have said that. I've done it lots. And the thing is that we live in this day. We live in this time when everybody has something to say. If you go on Facebook, there's like posts, and I'm not the techiest of people, but there's these things that you can post to Facebook and then people can comment on them. And it amazes me, and I actually kind of do it for fun because I don't post or really comment too often on Facebook, but I'll read the comments and it's hilarious how opinionated we are. And how we love to say something, and there's times when you can read these posts and you can read these comments and people are saying something that they know nothing about. We love to speak even though we know nothing about it. And we don't like to listen as much. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. We can read this: those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives. People who are able to be slow to speak actually preserve hardship. People who have the ability to listen more than they speak actually preserve a godly lifestyle. People who speak quickly bring lots of trouble to them, because when in our ability or disability, however you want to look at it, to speak quickly, that can bring on a lot of trouble. And that's what James is teaching. And another Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, the NIV writes, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." Then NASB, New American Standard Bible, translated this way: "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." And the Bible has a lot to say about how we speak and what we say. You know, the idea that where there are many words, there are transgressions. The more we speak, the more opportunity we have to say something wrong. The more that we speak, there's the ability to offend. There's the ability to speak untruth. In Proverbs 18, there's the ability to speak life or death. There's power of life or death in the tongue. And what James is getting at here is that if you want to be wise, if you want to live out your faith in a practical way, then listen to this. Want to listen more than you want to speak. Want to take in. Want to hear. The Bible says to be swift to listen. The translation is kind of like, have this desire to want to listen. Be willing to listen to the word of God and slow to speak. Figure out what it is that you are supposed to say. Because when we speak, we have the ability to speak life. And if we're waiting on the Lord and we're waiting to hear the whole story, then we have the ability to speak truth into people's lives. We have the ability to speak life. Or we can tear down. And so many times we see how words tear people down. There's things spoken, even if they're spoken and people are saying, well, this is spoken in the name of truth, but they're tearing somebody down, that's not fair. The way that we speak should be the way that God would want us to speak. And James is saying, like, look, you have 2 ears, you have one tongue. Listen before you speak. And then he goes on to say in the second part of that verse, he says, and be slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And that's tough, isn't it? Because there's things that set us off in our life. There's things that people can do or say. Or you know, like when the Vancouver Canucks lose Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, there's things that will set somebody off. That's one of them.
Preach it, Keith.
But the thing is that, like, James is saying, those things are going to happen, and we need to learn how to not react to them in that way. How to not, when those triggers go off, just blow up. We have to be willing to overcome that anger. Like Like I was explaining to Rob Monica yesterday, I was putting together this prefab swing set for my kids. And I was getting so frustrated with it, like to the point where I wanted to throw tools. Frustrated. You have these pieces of wood and they all have to go in a specific spot. And the instructions label them A, blah, 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 A, blah, blah. Do you think the wood has A23 on it? No. You put it all together and then you realize that one piece is wrong. You got to take it all apart. And then my kids are out there and they see me like hammering away and screwing things away. And I'm like, go away, go away, go away. And my anger starts to like play off on them. And so like I wonder in my mind, this like when I become this angry because this thing's stupid, if I'm supposed to tell my kids to go away, or would God rather me be like, see, this is a hammer, Adeline, and this is how you hammer. And this is a screwdriver, Zeke, and this is how you screw it in. Wouldn't that be more in a godly character than go away? And so then I come to study and to prepare for today and like have to confess that I was getting angry yesterday putting this thing together. I have to finish it today, so Lord help me. I won't have to confess next week that it was something. But our anger, the anger that we as humans have in situations doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Our anger, how we live that out or how we personify it, doesn't show God's character. See, God has wrath and judgment, but his judgment is right. And he sees every aspect of what is going on in his anger is out of truth, whereas our anger is usually out of self-motivation. And so things can happen to us and we say, you did this and that's why I'm angry. But the fact of the matter is that no matter what anybody does to us, we choose to be angry. Or we choose to react the way that we react. And so the ability to learn how to slow that process down and go, you know what? I can feel that coming up inside of me. I'm not going to blow up. That produces godly character. Slowed anger. Because it doesn't produce the character that God wants to see in us. And it doesn't show the world around us the light and the truth of who God is. And then James goes on to say, and this is so important when we read this in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. This, I can't stress how important this scripture is for us to hear. Because for a lot of us, we like to hear, sit down, listen to testimony, listen to what people have done in the name of Jesus and what people have done, what God has used people to do. And we love to hear about it. We love to hear a preacher preach a good word. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end at just hearing. It doesn't end at just reading the scriptures. Because then once we have heard, we actually have to do that. And so many times we can deceive ourselves into justifying not obeying Scripture. So many times I think we can look at our lives and be convicted of something in our lives and dismiss it as tiny or little. But later on in this chapter, James is going to say, but if you break even one command, you've become a lawbreaker. You can't say after murdering somebody, is the example he's going to use, but I didn't commit adultery, so I should be okay. Our faith has to spur us on to act on what we hear and act on what we read. And when we see something in Scripture that speaks directly to us, we apply that to our lives and we ask God for the strength to do that, no matter what it is. Do not merely listen, but be doers. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus tells a story of the wise man who builds his house on the rock. But Jesus, before that, he says, the one who hears my commands and obeys them is like the one who dug down deep to the rock and planted their foundation on the rock. The one who hears my words and obeys them is like the one who is planted on the rock. And he goes on to say that when the storms come and the torrents blew and the winds blew, the house was not shaken because its foundation was built on the rock. So we go through these times in our lives and we go, man, I'm struggling with this and I'm going through all these things and they're impacting me and they're making me move and I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And then we go back and think, well, maybe did I listen to the words and did I apply them in my life? Because when I do that, I put myself on the rock. I plant my foundation on the rock that cannot be shaken. And right after that, Jesus says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like one who built his house on the sand. And what Jesus is saying there is that, you know, he had thousands of people following him at certain points in his ministry. And not every single one of them heard his words and then applied them. And he's saying to those people, to us, that if we hear the words of God, and we don't apply them to our life, we ignore what the Scripture says and just keep putting it off, that we don't have any foundation to stand on. So it makes sense that when we go through certain things, we have trouble standing and we have trouble persevering through those things. In John chapter 14, John writes that Jesus says that the one who hears my commands and does not obey them does not love me. That's another serious thing to think about, because so many of us, we want to sing, we stand and we sing songs and we say, I love you, Lord, praise you, I worship you. But if we don't do the things that he says, how much can you really love me? If you love me, you would trust me. If you love me, you would want to look more like me. If you love me, you would obey my words. And then he says something that's even more profound in a way, because he says, but these aren't even just my words. These are the words of my Father. You know, Jesus is speaking these things from his Father. And he's being obedient and he's saying, he's doing what God has asked him to do in his life. And so he says, you know, don't merely listen to the word, but be doers of the word. And then down in verse 26, James writes, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word, by the world. He's putting a major emphasis on this idea of holding our tongues. He's saying this is important. Okay? So if you say that you're a believer and you say that you have faith in Jesus, but you are unable to hold your tongue, you're being deceived. And that faith is worthless. Listen quickly. Speak slowly. It's important. And then he goes on to say, but your faith, if you do something, is meaningful. He says, what does he say to do? He says, go look after orphans and widows in their distress. It's this idea of go and do something. Look, there's children without homes. There's women without husbands, nobody to look after them. Go and do something. If you have faith in Jesus, then go and do something. Make a difference in the world. I was looking up some stats. In Canada, there's about 45,000 orphans, children without homes, which I actually kind of thought was a low number, but that's still 45,000 kids that don't have homes. And in Canada, we have a population of close to 30 million, and 9 million people say that they are Bible-believing Christians. 9 million. 45,000 orphans, 9 million Christians. I don't think that everybody's called to adopt kids or any of that, but I'm just saying, out of those 9 million, so the question is, like, do we actually believe what the Bible says? Because if we do, then shouldn't those kids be taken care of? And you know, I'm not asking anybody in here to go out and adopt 45,000 kids. Okay, that's not what I'm getting. But if we look at it in that respect, you know, in the States, there's 500,000 orphans. There's 1 million churches. If just one person in half of those churches adopted a kid, there wouldn't be any orphans. Just one person. And so, like, when we look at things in that light, when we look at things practically, and what James is trying to do here is, like, spurn us on to a practicality of our faith, then people should be looked after, right? His major point is, when you hear the word and you call on the name of Jesus, live out that faith. Do something. Doesn't matter really what, just do something. Do something for the Lord. Impact somebody for the Lord. You know, I was gonna go on, but it's already after 12. I didn't realize. Unless that clock's wrong.
Clock's right.
Keep going, keep going.
That clock's wrong.
Clock's wrong. You know, I didn't really study the book of James too much before this. I mean, I've read it and I love it. But as we look at it, as we look at who James was, he was a Jewish person. He was most likely Jesus' half-brother. He got to walk and see the things that Jesus did. And he was part of the, you know, the people of the law. Before they believed in Jesus Christ, he would follow the law. And they realized the fact that living up to the law was impossible, and that through Jesus there's this amazing gift of salvation. But then he also realized something that's even more important than that, that once you have found that freedom in Jesus Christ, once you have been liberated from the grip of sin in your life, then that means that you should do something. That means that that's not the end of it. Not just finding salvation for myself. That's not the end of our journey. That's just actually just the beginning. Because what God and Jesus want to do in your life is to continue to work in it, to change you, to mold you. You know, we talked about in the first chapter how going through trials and tribulations, we get to persevere. You know how it's this refining. Our whole life is this refining, so that at one point Jesus would look down at us and see himself in us. And I love that picture, because we're not perfect and we're never going to be perfect. But as we go through the things in our life and as we read scripture and we apply it, like James is saying, then we get to change. And that's amazing. I have this conversation with this guy at work a lot. He's a very, he's a thinker. And he says that his big thing is he's accepted his insignificance in the world. And because his big premise is like, what can I possibly do that changes the big picture in life? And I'll invite you to back up. You can come back up. What can I possibly do that changes the big picture in life? And, you know, if we think about that, how much pull do we have in the big picture in life? You know, I thought about that talking to this guy. I'm like, okay, I get your point. But I said, like, he has a kid and he's a single dad and he's working up here and he lives down in Chilliwack and he's doing his thing and he's doing the best that he can for his kid. I said, but don't you think that you have a bit of an impact on who your kid is? Yeah, I guess so. But in the grand scheme of things, do I? I'm like, yeah, I think so. I don't think that I don't think that each and every one of us is going to be called to be like this, like impact the world type of person, but each and every one of us is called to make an impact. And the best way that I see that happening is when we actually read the word and apply it. You know, and I'm not talking about memorizing every single scripture verse so that in every single situation we can quote from the Bible. But I'm talking about practical things, and that's what James' teaching is all about. And as we go through it more, we're going to unpack more and more of this. But I love that approach that he takes, because he's like, look, you believe, now do this. You know, you believe, so listen. Don't speak so much. Listen. Not every Facebook post needs a comment. There's more Facebook posts out there that should just be ignored than commented on. There's times when, yes, we want to speak into people's lives. And that's when the power of life and death is in the tongue. That's when that's important. And scripture also tells us that don't worry about what you might say in that time, because God can give us the words. So if we rely on God, we rely on scripture, we slow ourselves down. Maybe we can speak life into people's lives more than death, more than tearing down. Now next week, when we go a little bit further into this, we're going to look a little bit more into this. Doing. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. That's what I would, you know what, if I could make a goal for this church for this year, that would be something that I would just love to see, where we wanted, where that was our desire, to be doers of the word, not just hearers, doers. We ask God for what can we do, God? And then we do it. And then we do it. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let me just pray with you before you go. If anybody needs prayer this morning, we'll give you that opportunity. Moms, we have floats out back too. So not just flowers, but floats. So don't leave before you get one of those. Let me just pray with you this morning. Father God, again, Lord, you're amazing. Lord, this life that we live, the joy that we can find in you, Father, the encouragement that we can find in you, in your word. Lord, I pray that everybody in this room would sense that this morning. That by your Holy Spirit, Father God, you would give us a desire to want to do something, Lord, and that would be exciting, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word this morning. I want to thank you that you've given us the Bible, that you've preserved these words for us to read. Lord, I pray that as we go forward today, in the name of Jesus, that we would just go forward seeking you. Seeking you. And so, Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, because you are worthy and you are worth it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, can I say something briefly? In keeping with what Sandy said,